Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, everybody. 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in. Lieutenant Aaron Bergquist is here.
Good morning.
Aaron, how many times have you been on the show now?
Oh, a handful.
Been
it's
a few, huh?
Pleasure.
You're like the greatest hits guy. And we got the greatest hits of SGPD with Lieutenant Bergquist.
Always happy to be here.
I like your name. It has a G and a Q next to each other. And a lot of people are like, they look at that and they go, what is this, like Dutch or something? I don't know how to say that. But
it's close. It's from Holland.
Holland. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. And then Kathy. Now, I'm going to try to say your name. Is it Freitas?
Freitas.
Freitas. Okay. Very cool. Kathy is in charge of animal services for St. George City, and she's the supervisor there. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about animals, well, a lot about animals, and Aaron will give us his lieutenant overview view on things, and Kathy will get down and dirty and nitty gritty with us on some of the rules. Now, yesterday was National Dog Day, and
right.
I found out that there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 81 million dogs as pets in America. That doesn't count the wild dogs. These are the 81 million dogs as pets. America has, what, less than 400 million people, so that's one dog for every five people in the country, Kathy. That's a lot of dogs.
We love our pets.
And that doesn't count the cats and the mice and the gerbils and the parrots and
lizards and snakes.
And
rabbits.
So that's a lot of pets. So obviously, pets are important to us, dogs and cats, and you know, and pets are important to our society. Kathy, you have a unique perspective in that you work with animals a lot.
Yes.
Do you have an explanation on why pets are so important to us? How does that fit in with everything? I mean, my wife, just right up front, I'm going to say we don't have a pet. My wife has a pet dander-induced asthma, so we cannot have an animal living in our home or she'll get very sick. And I love my wife more than I would ever love any animal, and so we don't have pets. And so for me, I have a little bit of a hard time understanding how pets, especially dogs, become so important to people. Do you have an idea?
Companionship. It's that unconditional love, a connection that people feel with their animals. Animals can give you something in your life that sometimes people can't. It's that unconditional, quiet support.
The old meme is dogs love you unconditionally and cats love you when they feel like it, right?
That's right.
Right.
But there is that. And certainly, you know, I was raised in a house. We had pets when I was growing up. The dogs were always happy to see you. Isn't that funny? No matter what going on, the dog was always happy to see you. And you'd walk in and the cat would look at you. And I think at that moment decide, I'm either going to like you or I'm not right now. It just depends on how I feel.
Very independent.
Yeah. So a part of it is, now, do you have pets at home, Kathy?
I do.
Aaron, do you have pets at home?
I do also, yeah. Kathy's got quite a few. She rescues all the fun ones.
You bring special needs animals,
I have a couple
right?
special needs dogs, a cat, a few rabbits.
She has a dog that can only eat from, like, a straw. She blends. She has to blend this animal's food every
day. He can't open
his
mouth. Yeah.
So does he know how to use a straw?
No, he's joking. No straw.
Okay.
But
so
he does have
how do you
to
get food into
I
it?
I do have to blend his food, and he sticks his whole face into it and sucks it up.
And sucks it up. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like a straw.
That's pretty cool.
I like to imagine he's using a straw.
You got an Arctic Circle and get him a milk.
And then I have a dog that I rescued from our shelter also.
He's an
addition to our family.
Nice. What kind of dog is it, Aaron?
He's an Australian Shepherd.
Okay.
Full energy.
Fairly big then, Australian Shepherd?
Yeah, he's about 50 pounds.
Okay.
He's a big guy.
Nice.
Outdoor dog, high energy.
Nice. Well, I don't have a pet, I did not mean to say I don't like pets or I wouldn't have one if I couldn't, but I, like I said, I love my wife more. So, and she always used to joke, oh, you can have a dog when I'm dead. And I'm like, well, don't die then because I'm good. We're okay. But, some of the things that I see a lot on social media, Kathy and Aaron, is a lot of people talking about, well, this dog was off leash. And, you know, I know a lot of people will go out to the trails. They want to do, my brother's a trail runner, and a lot of people go on the trails. They're either running or they're walking fast or they're hiking or whatever. And what a perfect time to take your dog off the leash and let him go chase rabbits or something, right? I mean, that's kind of, I think, what people feel. But Kathy and Aaron, what's wrong with that?
We have a city ordinance that states anytime your dog is off of your property, it needs to be leashed.
Ooh, yeah. So it's against the law.
It is. We have two dog parks in the city where your dog can be off leash. Other than that, parks, trails, everywhere, your dog has to be leashed.
Yeah, just because you trust your animal and your animal trusts you doesn't mean that they won't do something unexpectedly, or someone else's dog won't do something unexpectedly. Right. And so then we can run into some issues there.
And that, I think you're actually hitting to the heart of things, Aaron, is that people say, well, my dog would never bite anyone else, or my dog would never chase another dog, or whatever. They think they know.
Yeah.
And I've heard that, man, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, and probably not as many as you guys have heard that, is, oh, my dog wouldn't do that. Well, your dog did do that. Yeah.
Well, the leash law protects your dog as well. We get so many calls where there was a dog fight, an altercation between two dogs where one dog was leashed and the other one wasn't. Mm. The off-leash dog was friendly and would run up to a leash dog that is not friendly, and it caused a dog fight. So
That's tough. Mm-hmm. Is there any recourse law-wise for someone if that happens?
Mm-hmm. They can receive a citation, a dog at large citation.
And I guess once you have the citation, if it ends up with a human getting injured, and maybe a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could be civilly held liable. The owner of the pet that attacked could be civilly liable.
Yeah, that's and we don't want that. We don't want anybody to get hurt, of course. Let's talk about the dog parks a little bit. I've never participated in a dog park because I don't have dogs, but we lived right next to one. And you said, Aaron, there's two of them here in the city. Where are they?
We've got one on the west side and one on the east side. So over off Dixie Downs is one.
Okay.
And then we've got one that is down on just behind Dixie High School Snow Park. And those are kind of obviously not enough. We need more. And so the city's planning on adding a couple more dog parks in our area, so we're excited about that.
Okay,
utilizing some of the desert next to some parks already.
Can you explain to people what a dog park is, maybe for those that aren't sure, that maybe drive by and go, now what is that?
Yeah, it's just kind of a designated area where you can let your dog off leash and let them socialize with other animals in the dog park, and they can run around and play. And
so it's okay in that spot to take the leash off my dog and let him run around.
That's the only spot in the city, which is why we need more of them.
Okay. That may make sense. Now, what if there is an incident in a dog park? We talked about this off air, but maybe, Kathy, if you could explain a little bit to us the liability of when, say, a human is attacked or two dogs get in a dog fight inside a dog park. What happens then?
A dog park is enter at your own risk. We would expect people to follow the rules. There's a small dog side and a large dog side.
Okay.
Don't take your dogs to the dog park if they're known to be aggressive with other animals. Be safe and be smart about it. But because it is an enter at your own risk, dog fights happen. There's nothing that we would do about a dog fight that happened in a dog park. That's the owner's responsibilities to break it up and make sure it doesn't happen.
Okay. Buyer beware or whatever. Yeah. Just to understand that. Yeah. You're taking on the responsibility of hopefully your dog behaving. And
now, if a person gets bit in a dog park, we still need to do a bite investigation where we check for rabies vaccinations, do a bite quarantine, and all of that kind of stuff.
Now, I know you're not a lawyer, but I would assume at that point, if I go into a dog park, I'm kind of giving up the right of, you know, suing someone if their dog bites me, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, we don't want to give out any legal advice here. We get in big trouble.
I think you'll find most of our dog parks, the citizens that utilize them fairly consistently, they become pretty good friends.
Yeah.
And same with the dogs. The dogs get to know the other dogs, and it's a fairly positive thing in the life of that animal to go. And just like children go to the park and play with other kids, they really enjoy that.
You talked about big versus little dogs. There's actually two different portions of the parks.
Yeah, our parks are separated for small dogs. And
is there a weight cut off? Or?
I think there's a sign posted, but I think it's just kind of on the owner.
Because I wondered if I had a medium dog, how do I fit? You know, which side do I go to?
Use your best judgment.
Yeah, you know your animal and how they like to play or how aggressive they can be, and so put them in with the Great Dane if they can handle it.
Yeah, that's a big dog. I was reading yesterday one of the stories I wrote about dogs. The tallest dog in the world, living dog right now in the world, is 3 feet 11 or something. It's a Great Dane. And if you think about how tall that is, I know humans who are about 5 feet tall, so that's most of a human.
That's a small horse.
Yeah.
That's a big dog, pretty much like a pony.
What kind of dogs do you? What are the big common dogs right in southern Utah right now? What are you seeing a lot of?
Oh, lots of Labs, Aussies. We have a lot of cattle dogs like Heelers, pit bulls. Then there's a lot of small dogs, Chihuahuas and Pomeranians.
Are Labs so popular because of their personalities? Is that
probably? Yeah, they're a great family dog.
My brother had a Lab. It just seemed like such a happy dog all the time. You know.
Yeah, gold retrievers, Labs are pretty popular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dogs.
Yeah. Irish Setters too. Although I understand, I've heard Irish Setters don't have a very long lifespan. I had an Irish Setter growing up.
Love that dog.
Yeah.
Gold Doodles are pretty popular right now too. It's like everybody's trying to get their hands on like the mini.
Aren't those expensive though?
Well, they're popular, so yeah. You've got.
Now, how do you guys feel about like the pet stores, the where you can go and buy these designer dogs and have the AKC, and the, you know, they're is that a pockmark on the dog world, or is that it's okay? They should have a right. What do you think, Kathy?
Kathy's looking at me. She wants me to take this one.
Okay, Aaron, what do you think?
I think it comes down to the consumer, right? It's like if you are looking for a specialized something, then you're gonna go where you know you can get it, right? It's like buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a very specific brand and make and model, then you're gonna go where you can find that. Some people care more about that. Some people care more about just there are lots of needy animals, and you can get them at shelters, and you can get them from rescues, and so it really comes down to who's getting the dog and what they want and what they're looking for in that relationship.
How full are we right now, Kathy?
Full.
We're
completely
full.
100%
full.
Yep.
There has been a movement at zero, no kill shelters, and is our shelter a no kill shelter?
Mm-hmm. We operate under a no kill philosophy.
So what happens when you get full?
We try harder. We do a lot of advertising. We push our animals on social media. We lower or waive adoption fees. We'll do anything we can, reach out to rescues. Sometimes there are rescue specific or breed specific rescues where we can send some of our dogs that we have.
If I wanted to adopt a dog, and you hear all these different stories, and you can confirm whether or not they're true. For instance, older dogs tend to not get adopted as often. Is that true?
Sometimes it takes a little longer for them to get adopted, but there are families out there that want that. They want that low energy, easy care older dog.
A Lab dog.
Mm-hmm.
Pit bulls get kind of a bad rap, and so those guys kind of have a harder time getting adopted. But we've got specific rescues that just work with pit bulls, and some of those are in Idaho and some are in different states. And so we'll reach out to those rescues specifically when we've got a pit that's a little more aggressive and needs help. We also have some animal trainers in the area that work with us for free. And if we've got an animal that is having behavior problems and can't get adopted, then they'll take that animal for a month or month
really?
And a half and,
that's cool.
Train him and then bring him back to us, and then we can adopt them out. Or if someone will adopt them, they'll offer to work with that animal with that owner.
Mm-hmm. We have a dog right now at Dogtown doing a board and train. If anyone's interested in her, they can go and see her there, and training is offered after her adoption as well.
What kind of dog is that?
She's a little pit mix.
Pit mix. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So the reputation of pit bulls, and there are real stories out there. Just I think it was 2 years ago, a lady was killed in her backyard by her son had pit bulls, and it was her house, but they were his dogs, and sadly they attacked and ended up killing her. So the stories are real. They are out there, but do you think pit bulls have a reputation that is over-exaggerated?
I think it all goes to the nature nurture kind of thing. It's I mean, obviously they have a tendency to be kind of primarily more aggressive, but they can be trained and they can be loved and nurtured and and be perfectly safe animals.
The thing that, you know, Lieutenant, the thing that bothers me a little bit is if you get an aggressive breed like the pit bulls, and then you get a human who is willing to, not only willing to, but wants them to be aggressive and mean and attack people, that bothers me because it seems like to me there's no recourse to punish the human for making the dog this way. You know, the dog gets the blame.
They could be used as a weapon, right?
Yeah, and that's not fair to the dog.
It's not. Know? I would consider that abuse, right?
Yeah.
It's like raising a child that way to be more aggressive and to be more criminal-minded.
I've never heard of a human being charged for the way a dog behaves, except for if the human specifically sicked a dog on someone else. But it seems like to me, in some instances, that should be a charge. It should be real, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think if you had evidence to support that they used the dog as a weapon, it would be interesting to talk with the prosecutor and see if you could charge an aggravated assault in that way or.
That story that I was referring to a couple of years ago was up in, I think, Sugar House or something, where the lady was killed by dogs that her son owned. I think there were two adults and two youth, basically adolescent dogs, that killed his mother. And the court tried to argue that he trained the dogs to be aggressive, that to the point that he's the reason that she was killed. And unfortunately, the judge was like, no. Not buying that one.
I don't know too many of case laws.
That would be hard to prove, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We did have two pits that were very aggressive, and we couldn't get them adopted, and our staff couldn't handle them safely, and so we were in a real tough situation. Rescues couldn't take them; their behavior was gone, and so we were able to find a couple in Las Vegas that was willing to take on the animals, and so they took both of them.
Wow!
And they're doing great today. And
were they
super friendly?
Brother, sister, brother, brother. Were they related? Brother,
yeah, related pets. Mm. And they were. It was kind of a cool story, and so they every now and again we get photos from them, and they're doing great. So there's people out there that are willing to work with these kinds of animals and give them that trust and love that they need to be successful and live their best lives.
All right, let's clear some things up. How many pets are you allowed to have in a single household in St. George City?
You're allowed to have two dogs.
Two dogs, because mm-hmm. I know people with three.
Two dogs.
A lot of people with three.
You're allowed to have two, and you, unless your property backs up to open space, then you're allowed to have four.
Really?
So it depends on zoning.
Mm-hmm. But I guess I'm thinking about my house. We have a park behind us, a forest park over there in Middleton. Mm-hmm. That's not really open space.
It needs to be actually zoned open space. It's a zoning thing, yeah.
Okay. So two pets. So if you have more than two dogs.
Just dogs. Two dogs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What if I also have a cat and a gerbil?
Doesn't matter. Nope.
How many cats am I allowed to have? Same?
We have no limit.
No limit on cats.
So the
cat lady with 13 cats is okay?
But it does need
to
be.
That's why that happens, right?
It does need to be managed. So there are, we have a TNR program. It's our trap, neuter, release. We make sure that the cats are fixed and vaccinated and cared for. Yeah. It has to be kept clean. It has to be kept manageable. We don't let just cats overrun a place, that we would look into that and try to help.
Have we had that issue ever in St. George that you're aware of where there was
too many cats,
too many animals in house?
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, so if I said, have we had that issue? You're like, have we had that issue.
Yeah, that pit bull story I told you was actually a house that had, I think, six pits.
I don't recall.
Yeah, I think we took 6 to 8 pits out of that house.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Right here in St. George, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. As far as adopting a pet, I touched on it at the start of the show, Kathy. People, especially a dog, they see a dog at a pet store or even in a shelter, and they say, hey, I want to take this dog home. I think this is going to be the perfect dog for my family. And then people get them home, and they realize, I can't really just leave on vacation now. I can't just leave the dog here for a week. You can't do that. I'm gone to work all day, and you know, I'm gone from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and this poor dog is alone for 11 hours, and he's eating, you know, tearing my pillows open or scratching the baseboards. My daughter has a dog that likes to chew on the baseboards of her house. Mm-hmm. And so they go, okay, this was a mistake. I need to get rid of this dog. And so they take the dog to the shelter, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then the first thing everyone thinks, oh, I'll just take him to the shelter. But why is that a problem? And tell us about kind of what you guys have to deal with when that happens.
Well, as far as adopting a dog, breed matters. Do your research. Mm. You know, there's different personalities, different breeds for different things. So look at your lifestyle, look at what you're looking for, and do your research before adopting an animal. As far as after you adopt a dog, we talk about the three rule. It takes them 3 days to decompress, so give them that 3 days. They're not going to be themselves for a little bit. Okay. 3 days to decompress, 3 weeks to learn your routine, and then 3 months to feel at home. So we ask after you adopt a dog, give it some time. Don't immediately turn around and go, this isn't a good fit for me. Give it some time. And then if it's not working out, we want you to rehome it. We don't want you to live with a dog or you're not happy, the dog's not happy. Find it a place where everyone is content.
So your default reaction shouldn't be, oh, I'm just going to take them to the shelter. Try it first to get someone who will.
Try. See if you can give them some time to settle in. And then we ask that you try to rehome the dog on your own. If it goes from family to family, that's better for the dog to not have to enter the system and not have to be in the shelter environment. But if you need to rehome your dog, we're here to help.
So I had a friend, and I can't even remember that it was some foreign sounding. Maybe it was a Bichon Frise. Is that a dog breed that popped Bichon into my Frise. Head? They were so focused on they wanted that specific dog. Why is it a mistake to focus on just one breed when it seems like you need to be maybe a little more flexible when you're talking about adopting an animal?
Well, I don't know if it's inflexible. I think people get an idea in their head of exactly what they want. And if they've done their research and that's the dog that's going to fit their lifestyle, then go for it. Find that dog. There's breed-specific rescues where you can find it. There's licensed breeders if you want to go that route. But sometimes you'll find something that you're not expecting. If you go into a shelter and look around, you'll see something jump out at you that's a better fit.
Hopefully not literally jump out at you, like the pits you were talking about. But one of the problems we have as humans, we see a puppy and we go, oh, that puppy is so cute. I got to have me that puppy. Well, that puppy grows into a 70-pound whatever and, you know, leaves deposits on your carpet and eats a lot of food. And you know, then you get like, what did I get myself into? What's the best way for people to deal with the idea of the puppy love kind of thing? Donny Osmond puppy love.
Yeah. I think like Kathy was saying, it really goes to your research. Like what's the lifespan of this animal? What's the size? What's the behavior, characteristics? How much energy do they have? Like if you're just going into finding a puppy and just getting it for Valentine's Day for a loved one or Christmas or something like that, just cause it's a puppy, like, that's probably not going to end well.
Yeah. That's a mistake, right? Giving a dog as a present, right?
It happens all the time.
Does it?
We'll get an influx of animals usually right around Valentine's Day, right around after.
A little bit of Christmas too, right?
Yeah.
After Christmas. I'm going to get the kids a puppy and, yeah. My son, by the way, he had a couple of boxers. The boxers are an extremely, extremely mellow breed. Really, really great dogs, but they have a very short lifespan. And when his first boxer died, he was like, you know, so sad. He only lived 7 years,
seven years.
And I said, well, I've heard boxers have really short lifespans. He goes, oh, they do. I said, did you know that? Yeah, I knew that. So I was trying to be empathetic to him, but at the same time, I was like, you know, if you did your homework, and he did, and you knew it was a short lifespan, and he did, then he should have known that, you know, you're going to have to say goodbye to these dogs a little sooner than maybe you want.
Bigger dogs tend to live shorter. I had two Chihuahuas, and I had them for 17 years.
Really?
Yeah.
They lived and lived and lived and lived.
Yeah, about as old as my kids almost.
I grew up with a dog named Mopsy, a beagle, and Mopsy lived 13, 14 years. And actually, she got hit by a car, so we don't know how long she would have. But she was definitely getting old by the time that. In fact, she probably got hit by the car because she couldn't get out of the way because she was moving real slow at that point. We adopted Mopsy, and Samantha was the other beagle. We adopted at the same time, and Samantha did not live very long, but Mopsy lived for years and years and years and years. So I don't see that many beagles anymore. I guess they're still around, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're still beagles.
We also had a basset hound when many years ago, but this was the biggest chicken basset hound. It might have been a chicken in real life because it was scared of everything. Yeah, you'd sneeze and it would go cower under the couch or whatever. So, I anticipated, we ended up having to give her away, but I anticipated this basset hound of ours having back problems along the way because anybody that knows basset hounds are these big, long dogs and like dachshunds that have the elongated spine, and that can't be good for anybody, right?
Yeah, they can get, just like humans, right? The health problems.
I have a long spine too, yeah.
And then depending on how nutritious your diet is, you can have issues.
All right, let's do this. Let's get a weather break in. When we come back, let's talk with Kathy and Aaron and Lieutenant and Lieutenant Bergquist and do I call you Officer Freitas or Supervisor? Do you have a title?
Supervisor.
Supervisor Freitas. All right. We'll talk about dog-proofing your home, some of the things you need to be aware of, and things that are poison to your pets. There are some plants out there that are not good for your pets. When we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. In a few minutes, we're going to give away a couple of combo meals to Wendy's. So I just wanted to make Stockton aware. He's over there going, all right, yeah, he's on it. He's got it. We are talking dogs today. Yesterday was National Dog Day in America. 81 million pet dogs in America. That's a lot of dogs. And my wife was joking that there are almost as many dogs in America as there are bicycles in Amsterdam. We just went on a vacation to Europe, and Amsterdam, first of all, no fat people because they all ride bikes all day long. And second of all, the guides told us that bikes get the right of way over pedestrians, over cars, over anything. Bikes always have the right of way in Amsterdam. So it's kind of a weird thing because they have every street has a bike lane. And if you walk into the bike lane and the bike's coming, you better get out of the way because they will run you down.
Good to know. So,
talking with Lieutenant Aaron Bergquist from the St. George Police Department and Supervisor of the Animal Services, Kathy Freitas. And Kathy and Aaron, thank you for coming. Appreciate you guys.
Happy to be here.
Talk about dog-proofing your house a little bit. What are some of the things that we need to do? If we're thinking about getting a dog, you don't have to maybe child-proof your house and block off all the outlets, you know, so your kid doesn't stick the finger in the outlet. But you do have to do a few things for a dog, right?
Mm-hmm. You do. Make sure there's not things laying around that they're going to chew, especially if it's a puppy. You want to keep things off the floor, electrical cords, keep them out of the way. Puppies just have a tendency to chew on things. So you want to offer things that they can chew to keep them busy, and just make sure there's not things laying around that'll hurt them.
Anything else you need to worry about? Dogs aren't going to like bite on electrical wire or things like that, right?
Puppies will chew on
electrical
anything,
cords. Huh?
Yeah, okay. Puppies will chew on anything. So just if you're, keep an eye on them. And if that seems like it's something that your puppy's going to chew on, you would want to protect them from that.
Okay. My daughter lived in an apartment complex for a while. It was in Washington City, so it wasn't St. George. But I guess... Yeah. To me, this seems so silly. When you move in, it was a pet-friendly complex, but when you move in, you had to provide a sample. I'm going to say a fecal sample from your dog, and they would put the dog's DNA in their database. And if your dog pooped on public areas in the things, they would trace the DNA, and you could be fined. I think it was like $100 or something for your dog pooping in the public areas.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, that was
that's news to me.
I was like, are they serious? Is that? It seems like they ought to have worse, like parking or crime or something, not dogs you know, DNA.
We do get a lot of like the Ring cameras and stuff like that, where they'll send us evidence of a neighbor's dog pooping in their yard and ask us to come.
They want
out
you to do something
and come out and
what can you do?
That. We could issue a citation, but typically we try to educate and see if we can't find a peaceful solution. But I think the bottom line is clean up after your animal, right? If you're walking your animal and he does his business in your neighbor's yard, be responsible.
Yeah, I agree. But there are people that don't.
There sure are.
Unfortunately. All right, let's get off of dogs for just a second and talk about other animals. I just saw a video. It was up in the Utah County, one of those Ring cameras or whatever, and a mountain lion was wandering through someone's yard. Do we have need to worry? Do we have wild animals of that size, especially in southern Utah?
Absolutely. Yep.
We do. Mm-hmm. And is it relatively common?
I wouldn't say that it's common, but we've had it in my career. We had a rash of a mountain lion being sighted on our bike path. I've had a mountain lion in someone's backyard up here in downtown. In those situations, we'll call in DWR, and that's what they do, is they deal with all the wild animals.
Generally speaking, and we're not trying to scare people at all, generally speaking, the wild animals don't want to be around you humans, you know. Occasionally we do cross paths, rattlesnake or a mountain lion or cougar or I don't know, I guess the coyotes occasionally in the area. But you guys, basically, it's not something we need to stay up at nights worrying about.
It's not common. No. Rattlesnake's probably more common. We deal with snakes fairly frequently, but we'll come out and remove those for you. I was gonna say,
what's the procedure if there's a rattlesnake in my driveway?
If it's somewhere where it can just go off and be on its own, just leave it be. Give it some space. It'll move on. If it's in your living area, if it's in your home or garage, we obviously don't want you at risk, so we'll come and remove that and relocate it.
There's actually some interesting science going on with rattlesnakes and their venom. They're actually finding lots of cures to some pretty bad illnesses.
Really?
Using rattlesnake venom.
It seems like... And I actually had a friend who her goal in life, and she was pursuing that goal, was to be the person that studied rattlesnakes and extracted venom from them to help save people's lives. Make the anti-venom.
They will go out and find them up. It's pretty common up north, and the research is being done out of Colorado, and they'll go trap a lot of wild rattlesnakes and give them to this, transport them to that program. And
you could not pay me enough money to do that job. I am not interested at all in that.
You've
got to
be a snake person. It's a different kind of person.
Yeah, I like snakes. Rattlesnakes are protected. So if there is one in your home or in your garage, in your yard, please don't kill it. Give us a call and we'll remove it for you.
Generally speaking, we should only kill them if they are threatening us.
Absolutely.
Right? If it's slithering across your lawn... Don't chase it down and hack it to death. That's terrible. So, all right, Rhonda on line one is with us. Rhonda, thanks for calling in. You have a question for Kathy and for Lieutenant Berquist?
Oh, not a question. I was just going to – you were talking about things that are detrimental to dogs. Mm-hmm. And I was watching Dr. Pohl last night, and a little one-year-old puppy ate sugarless gum. And apparently it's detrimental to their liver. And so you have to wonder if sugarless gum isn't detrimental to human livers, too. I don't know. And the other thing is chocolate can kill your little dogs. Okay. And no chocolate. Don't leave chocolate laying around. And grapes are bad. And also pork can cause pancreatitis.
Really?
Don't give your dogs pork.
Oh, man.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Rod. I appreciate you calling. Pork, huh? I hadn't heard that one.
Now, with the gum specifically, it's the xylitol in sugarless gum, and xylitol is found in other foods as well, so you want to make sure that you're not giving your dogs anything that has xylitol in it. Huh. There are some, even some peanut butters have that in there, so you want to check your labels and make sure.
There's nothing more fun than giving your dog peanut butter and seeing him...
Make sure it's a natural peanut butter with no xylitol.
For sure. All right, I got a text here. It said 2 weeks ago in California, a woman was mauled to death when they went into the area. They found 25 Great Danes, which are normally not an aggressive dog, but said five of them had DNA in them that showed that they were the dogs that actually killed the woman. So I have never heard of a Great Dane being that aggressive.
She said 25 Great Danes in
25
one area.
Great Danes. That's a lot of
so that's where
big
you,
dogs.
That's where you get into that pack mentality where it just, and that can happen with any breed, where they pack up and their instincts kick in.
Yeah, that's one thing I think we take it for granted as Americans is how awesome our animal control is in the country. If anybody's been to a third world country, you'll see just how quickly canines can get out of hand and be in that pack mentality.
Mm. That's it. It's a big part of law enforcement, isn't it? Making sure that our animals are pets, not predators.
It can really get out of hand quickly and cause a quality of life issue that we enjoy here because we have great animal control.
Well, said some other things to worry about with your dogs, especially in your yard. Toxic flowers. There are certain flowers. Let's see, azaleas, aloe, oleander, sago palm are just a few of the toxic flowers that can actually kill your pets. Cocoa mulch. Now, it says most pet owners know chocolate can be toxic for your dog, but a popular popular mulch made from theobromine and caffeine, ingredients in chocolate and cocoa, can be just as toxic for Fido. Lawn chemicals. Now, you want to treat your lawn, right? Kill pests, kill grubs, maybe kill weeds. But lawn chemicals, is that harmful to your animals?
I'm sure there are some that are pet safe. I don't know which ones are and which ones aren't. But if you have somebody that's taking care of your lawn, ask them if what they're using is pet safe.
Okay. Now, we've heard about the algae that's growing in like Zion National Park and stuff, and I think a dog even died, right, in this algae, maybe more than one. What is the algae and what do we need to be aware of in that situation?
It's a blue-green algae and it is toxic to dogs. So just
do they eat it or do they ingest it when they swim?
When they get in the water and they drink it, yeah, so they're ingesting it. And I've heard of many dogs that have become sick from it. It depends on how much is there right now.
Yeah.
So you can check. Where can you check to see how much of the algae is?
I think it's on one of the state websites. I'm not sure exactly which one. But.
Yeah. Just be safe and check and see what the algae level is before taking your dogs down to the
river.
Is
this stuff you can identify by sight? Like you see some algae that is, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if it's always visible.
Okay. So it could actually be there and we don't know for sure or not. So definitely something to keep aware of. And by the way, even in a national park, I think you're still supposed to have your dog leashed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So absolutely.
If your dog's running to get in the creek or whatever because you let him go, that's a no-no. Mm-hmm. So, all right, we'll take another break. Be right back, folks.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Lieutenant Aaron Bergquist is to my left, and right in front of me is Kathy Freitas, and we're talking animals today. And Lieutenant Bergquist, you tell me that we are building a new shelter, a second shelter?
Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting. We're fortunate in our area to be so supported by our local officials and our city government. Our shelter's been a source of needed updates for some time. We built our shelter back in 89, and so
okay.
Our current
that was
shelter
before I was here even
our current shelter is lacking in some areas. We're about 2400 square feet for what we're dealing with, and
that's
we need
a regular sized house, I guess,
much yeah. much more space than that. And so we have been approved by the city to put in a new shelter, which is an amazing capital project for the city. They picked a lot for us down close to the animal treatment plant, the water treatment plant.
those are
two very different things.
Yes, they are.
and so we're going to have go from 2,400 square feet to almost 15,000 square feet.
Wow, big.
And that's going to be amazing for our staff and for the animals and for the future of animal control in St. George.
Now, will Kathy be moving over then to the new facility? All
She'll
right,
be moving.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Boy, 2,400 square feet is what you're dealing with right now, huh? That is not big.
It's very small.
Wow. Okay, now you mentioned that you're full. And this obviously will give the animal shelter a lot more capacity. Mm-hmm. But when I think full, you go, okay, you got dogs in every kennel, every mm-hmm. spot. But you don't have just dogs, right? You have other animals?
Correct. We have dogs, cats, rabbits. Occasionally we have chickens, guinea pigs, hamsters. We've got three birds right now.
I don't think he literally perked up over there, but I know Stockton is a bird guy. Mm-hmm. Stockton has how many birds, Stockton? Three or two?
I have three cockatiels.
Three cockatiels. Okay.
I believe we have two cockatiels available for adoption at the shelter. Two cockatiels and a parakeet, I believe.
Now you can have five.
Unfortunately, I just moved to a new place, and I don't think the three birds are used to the place yet, let alone two extra birds. But that is nice to know. So the shelter does have birds.
We do, yes.
Yeah. 3-3-3 rule, right? You got 3 days to get used to your place, and then get three more birds or something.
In fact, in our new shelter, we're hoping to have an aviary.
Mm-hmm. I would love that.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
I'll wait when you guys have a cockatoo and an African gray.
Oh, there you go.
All right, we got about 3 minutes left. By the way, Brenda is the winner of our Wendy's deal. And I wanted to ask Kathy, you said off the air, rabbits actually make really good pets. So you got 3 minutes to make your case for rabbits.
They do. Rabbits can be great house pets. They can be litter box trained.
You can actually get your rabbit to run around the house, but when it's time to go to the bathroom, it'll actually go in the litter box. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So my rabbits run around with the dogs and the cat, and they have individual personalities just like cats and dogs do. Absolutely fantastic pets.
Now, do rabbits bite people?
They can, yes.
They can,
yes.
If they're mad. Yeah. Okay. Does it hurt? Does it draw blood?
It can, yeah.
Yeah, really? Uh-huh. You wouldn't think a rabbit, killer bunnies, you know. Yeah. You wouldn't think the rabbit would actually do that.
You can get a spicy bunny for sure. Yeah.
Is that when you cook it up? No, that's not what you meant.
That's why we grew up on Bugs Bunny cartoons, right? It's like Bugs Bunny was an aggressive bunny.
Yeah, but he wouldn't bite anybody, would he?
Yeah, just Elmer.
But we have two rabbits at the shelter right now that are available for adoption, too. So.
Okay. And these are the non-biting kind.
Non-biting
right?
kind, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Do you see an influx around Easter of chicks and bunnies?
We do, yeah. Yep, because people get them for their kids as babies and don't realize they didn't put their homework into it and didn't realize the amount of care and time that it needs to take care of them. So,
we actually partner with our parks department, too, in some of our city parks. Then they take our rabbits and have mm-hmm. some livestock areas for us for goats and rabbits. And
a petting zoo type thing? Or?
Yeah, Segmiller Park down off 3000 East. We've got a kind of an area for livestock animals mm-hmm. that are from the shelter.
Yeah, our rabbits are at Segmiller Farm right now. You can see them down there.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And our rabbits as fluffy and loving as... I actually had a rabbit when I was a kid, so I love rabbits, too.
There's different breeds. So there's just as many different breeds of rabbits as there are dogs.
Really?
So, mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I thought that everybody thinks cottontail and jackrabbit, and that's about it, right? So... All right, so adopt an animal today. They are absolutely full. You would love for people to come down. What's the best way? We've got about a minute. The best way for people if they want to adopt an animal?
Call the shelter, 435-627-4350. Call and schedule an appointment to come in. We do take walk-ins. If you didn't schedule an appointment, you can come up, and if we have somebody available to help you, we'll help you.
Also, our social media, our animal, St. George Animal Shelter social media Facebook page, you can see...
You have pictures of the animals up?
Yep. See all of our animals.
Wow. Very cool. Well, I encourage people to adopt a dog from the animal shelter, not pay $1 million for the pet store to buy a dog, because you have just as good a dogs, and maybe they don't have the papers, some of them, but you still have some pretty cool animals mm-hmm. over there.
A lot of need out there.
Aaron, Kathy, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Andy.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back tomorrow. More Andy Griffin Show tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in today.